Welcome to the REM Breakdown. Hey, it's JD here, and I'm joined as always by my friend Rico Borrego to discuss the work of the influential American band REM. Every week, we'll explore a different song in the band's catalog, working through the discography in chronological order to better understand just why this four-piece is considered so seminal, innovative, and downright awesome. So there's that. Talk to me, Rico. How the hell are things going this week?
You know, it's been a long week for me. I got over a little bit of a cold. So you could say I don't feel like a million, but it's also been a busy week for the band. We have some exciting news from REM that we haven't had.
It won't be news by the time you're listening to this, because we're recording a couple in advance. But go ahead and share the news, Rico. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, well, actor Michael Shannon, he has his own REM tribute band. And I know last year they did some shows, but this year they're traveling to different cities and touring and playing all of Murmur. And there's some select shows where they're doing Reckoning as well. They'll play all through Murmur, and then they'll do an encore with just some of the other greatest hits from the band. And I believe last week, their first show was in Athens. And during the show, all four founding members of REM eventually got up on stage. And all of them but Michael played with the band during certain songs. Like on A Perfect Circle, you had Bill playing the piano. And then other certain songs, Mike was playing bass and Peter was playing guitar. And it was the first time in 17 years that all four members were on the same stage or in the same room together publicly.
That is just so badass. I had a lot of respect for Michael Shannon before, even in his turd role as Zod, General Zod in the Superman reboot, you know, which was a weak character, but he was a strong point in the movie. And gosh, I'm trying to think of the other one that I saw at TIFF. Is it Lady in the Water? Something like that.
The Shape of Water?
The Shape of Water? No, it's not. Is it The Shape of Water?
Well, he's in one called Shape of Water that I saw in theaters, yeah.
Yeah, it's by... who's the director?
Guillermo del Toro.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. That's the one, Shape of Water, yeah.
He's fantastic in that.
Yeah, and I didn't even love that film, but anytime I see him in a movie, he's great. Knives Out is a fun movie that he's in, and an ensemble cast, and he's great in that. He was in that Waco TV show, too, Limited... TV show.
That's right.
And he was really good in that too. So.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
But who knew
and
that
he can could... sing.
Yeah, he can sing. And he kind of sounds like Michael Stipe.
Yeah. Very cool.
And it's interesting. You don't really see a lot of actors who are like, oh, on my downtime, I'm going to go and play in a tribute band to a, you know,
right.
And go tour a specific album all the way through.
Yeah, you don't see it. Like, I mean, I'm guessing they're riding a bus, like, you know, like they're doing it, like they're playing, what is it, like 10 dates?
Yeah, and they're playing fairly small venues, too.
So
they're not, man, you know.
If we had it together, we should have went to Athens for that.
Yeah, show. Yeah. And I didn't expect, I mean, when they announced this news, you know, I saw it pop up on different websites, but, you know, I don't think anyone expected the band to show up. It makes sense, especially for the Athens show, but usually you would just expect like Mike to show up or Peter, the both of them, but Michael and Bill too. That's just kind of crazy to think that they'd all be there for a show.
Yeah. Are they all still living in Atlanta?
That I have no
or
idea.
Or Athens rather? Like, I mean, Georgia is what I meant.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to say whenever I see Michael post on his Instagram, it's usually like in New York.
Oh, okay.
So, but it wouldn't like surprise me if, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if like Mike still lived there, but clearly they thought this was special enough for them to take time out of their week and, you know, be there for that special occasion.
Well, the 40 Watt Club is a special place, right?
Yeah, especially to REM.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and you can go online and watch videos from the show, and they all sound fantastic. Michael Shannon, his voice, great. He really pulls off that kind of mumble singing that, you know, Michael did in the 80s.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully down there, hopefully it was professionally recorded, and maybe down the road we'll get some type of release for it. I think that'd be fantastic.
I wonder if you're right, because Michael Shannon was in it, there might be some sort of documentary or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, some type of touring DVD where they at each show that they have a song that they recorded either on video or audio, you know.
Yeah, that would be cool. Even a release of Murmur, like with like their version of Murmur.
Yeah. I mean, I would dig anything from it, especially because I don't have an opportunity to go see this tour. I think they are coming to California, but
I thought it was strictly East Coast, but you might be right.
Oh, it might be. If that's the case, then I don't feel as bad missing it, because
yeah, it's not like you're going to jump on a plane.
I've never really had the opportunity to travel for a show, so yeah. But some people do. Some people will travel with the band. I'm sure some people in REM toured, they follow them state to state, you know?
Oh, yeah. I did it with Pavement. I followed them through the UK a couple years ago. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. My girlfriend did that with one of her favorite bands, Mute Math. She went and saw them at all the California dates. So
I remember Mute Math.
Oh, yeah? Really?
What was their big song? I think they had a song for Apple.
Their biggest song was Typical.
Yeah, we used that at Apple.
Oh, wow.
In one of the Apple, maybe it was only for like our side of things, like it wasn't customer facing, but definitely it was used. Oh, wow.
I'll have to tell her about that. She'll be, not everyone you run into knows that band, you know, they're,
right.
I mean, like, yeah, when that first album came out and that first single, you know, it got a good amount of airplay, but then, yeah, they just never got the success of other bands from the 2000s.
Yeah. Well, shall we spin Million?
Yeah, let's give it a listen and then we'll talk about it.
Cool. We'll be right back after this. This is Million on the REM Breakdown.
Stop.
All right, that was Million, the first song on the second side of Chronic Town. And right off the bat, would you call this song Million or do you say A Million? Because I say A Million, even though I'm sure it's just Million. I mean, it's not spelled out. It's, you know, the numbers. So
he sings
a million.
I'm a stickler. And the title of the song is Million. So I got to go with Million.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or would you say 1 million?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you would
say...
The way
it's written down.
I think you would say 1 million, but like in the song he sings, I think I just say 8 million because that's what he sings in the song.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But there's so many songs that the title is not exactly what is sung in the song, you know?
Right, yeah.
But what do you think of it? I mean, it is... funny enough, I was doing some research and... If you listen to the first episode of the Chronic Town that we did, we mentioned that on the back of the record and the CD, the track list is kind of out of order.
Right.
But what I read was it was just a misprint because the first two songs listed on the back are Million and then Stumble. And then it has Wolves Lower and the rest. So they were just flipped. It's like they put the songs on side two listed first.
Oh.
And then the songs, so they're not completely, there is like an order to it. They're just the first two songs are
opposite.
Swapped. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's wild.
I did want to point that out. But it is the first side of the poster torn.
Yes.
Side of Chronic Town.
Yeah. For me, I think this song starts with more clean sounding guitar. And I immediately think if there was distortion on this guitar with the vocals that Stipe gives, like it's got a real monster feel to it. It's got a Star 69, like in terms of the vocal.
You're blowing my mind because I shit you not. I have that exact thing in my notes. I kid
you. No.
I kid even down to Star 69. It's like this is like a kind of a demo for... Way Down the Road with Monster. Yeah, it has that. He's singing kind of fast and the words are kind of trailing as like the end of the verse comes. And then he does the little kind of flip up in the melody. Is exactly like Star 69.
Yeah. I can't get over the fact that this is their first EP and they're already giving us blueprints for a record that doesn't come out for like 8 records from now.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not going to be talking about that song for like at least another year.
Yeah.
But no, I have the exact same thing in my notes. I'm so glad that you felt the exact same way because I was thinking I was going to mention it and you were going to be like, oh, I've never thought about it. But no, you said exactly what I was going to say.
I love the drum sounds after the chorus coming into the second verse, like those quick fills. Not even really a fill, but it's just like the drum pattern is really cool sounding.
He's very, Bill is very tom heavy on this whole, I've noticed on this whole EP, like this song and the next song to Stumble, like he's doing a lot of actions on the toms, which I always love. It kind of gives it like a tribal kind of sound.
Yeah.
And really I kind of, you know, as we're going through and analyzing your song on the CP, I kind of think Bill's like the star. Like the rest of the band, every band member is pulling their part, you know, but Bill just really stands out. Like eventually, like maybe 3-4 albums in, like I feel like he's playing more for the song, which is that's, you know, a great thing as well. But I think on this EP, he really shows off. He's like, he's doing more fills. He's doing more kind of, like just kind of different, you know, on other songs on Chronic Town, you kind of have like a disco drum beat and he's just doing a little bit more experimentation. I feel like than a couple albums, you know, down the road.
Yeah. I also have to give them huge props for in the context of the EP, the cohesiveness of this EP, like everything sort of fits together like a nice jigsaw puzzle. Not that you have to do the work because it's only a 5-piece puzzle. But it's really cohesive in that way. And I think that, you know, again, it's just showing a level of maturity that you don't see with 20-year-olds very often.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, like when I ever think of an EP, I kind of think of it as like, oh, these are maybe songs that couldn't quite find room for them on another album or whatever. But
totally,
like, this is basically like almost like their first album, even though it's not considered an album. Murmurs, the first album, like this is like their first, besides Radio for Europe, you know, this was like their first set of songs.
Yes.
But it sounds like fully fleshed out, which a lot of EPs don't, you know.
It really, really does. So what have you got? Because I've got nothing really on the lyrics.
Well, this was one of the many songs from this EP that they played in 2008 or 2007 for the Live at the Olympia live album. And before the song, Michael has a little intro where he says, lots of death in this one. I don't know where I was in the early 80s.
Interesting.
So, now when I listen to the song, I don't get death from it. But when I was looking more at the lyrics, you know, there are lyrics that when I did some research, there in the verse, he says secluded in a marker stone.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was doing some research, and there's this thing in Georgia called the Georgia Guidestones. It's in Elbert County in Georgia.
Okay.
And I guess it was a monument made because people thought that there was going to be some type of like apocalypse and that humans would need a guide stone to guide them through like this apocalypse. Like that was the belief of the guy who made the monument in Georgia. And some people even believe that the monument was connected to Satanism.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of people think that the line secluded in a marker stone could be referencing that monument, which makes sense because it was in Georgia.
Yeah.
And then another interpretation of the lyrics is that, you know, in the chorus, Michael is singing, I could live a million years. And some people think because of the references to tombs and ruins and the marker stone that Michael could be singing like about some type of like vampire or some type of creature that like never dies, that lives for forever. I find that to be a little bit more of a stretch, but
yeah,
you know, I could, reading through the lyrics, I can kind of see that. I just happen to think, and some other people think, that the song is just, you know, it doesn't have specifics when it comes to the verses, but the chorus and the idea of the song is that, you know, when you're living a part of your life where everything is breezy, you know, and everything's going right, you feel like you could live a million years, you know, like,
yeah,
you just feel invincible and you just feel unstoppable, you know? So, you know, there's never, other than that intro before that live performance, at the Olympia show, like, you know, he's never come out and said the song is about this or that, but,
he doesn't do that a whole lot.
No, exactly. Especially with these early lyrics, I mean, he's mentioned before in interviews that, you know, the first album, and so like a lot of it was gibberish.
Right.
And I think the song does have some gibberish, but I do think like the marker stone reference with the guide stone, the actual monument, I do think that there might be some truth in that.
Yeah. That would be cool if it were.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's between all the, like the things he mentions about Georgia and of course, like the Murmur cover, which we'll talk about in a future episode. It makes me want to go and visit Georgia and go to these, like, you know, have like a bucket list of things related to REM to visit.
Maybe we'll do a live episode from Georgia someday, dude.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I really enjoy the song. It really has just an upbeat feel to it. Like, you listen to it and you just kind of, you nod your head and you're tapping your foot. It just makes you feel happy.
The chorus is beautiful. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I love the melody. Michael's melody in the chorus, that's the hook to me. Like,
yeah,
that's the part definitely that gets stuck in my head.
Yep.
Other than the Star 69 vocal delivery of the
chorus. Yeah.
Peter's
anything
playing
else, buddy?
Well, I just really like Peter's playing on the song. He's doing more of those, like, you know, jingly arpeggios. In the second verse, instead of doing the arpeggios for the second half of the second verse, he does kind of this more just guitar strum, which, you know, kind of has a dreamy tone to it, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
It has a really short bridge, which kind of It's kind of one of those bridges where it's like, did the song need the bridge? No. But does it add a lot to the song?
Short.
No. But yeah, it's just kind of a transition. It just kind of gets you from, you know, point A to point B, you know? And yeah, I mean, I think I really love the intro of the song, like you were mentioning. And I like that that's how it closes out the song.
Yeah.
It's a good bookmark, you know? Yeah. And really the last thing I have for the song is that it was actually played 193 times live.
Oh.
So it was a staple in like the early 80s when they were playing live. And again, it made a return in 2007, where it was played seven more times between 2007, 2008. And there's a video on YouTube from a performance in North Carolina in 1982, where supposedly Mitch Easter, producer, is on stage playing guitar on this song.
Get out of here.
He's playing second guitar, like in the background.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, at least that's what people in the comments say. There's definitely someone else on stage and everyone's like, oh, that's Mitch Easter. So,
well, that sounds really, I got to check that out.
Yeah. So, but no, yeah, I think it's a really strong song. It's not the most memorable song, like maybe from the EP. You know, I think we both probably prefer like Guardian at Night, but it's a fun one. It's fun and it's short. It's like to the point.
Sure.
And it's barely 3 minutes, so it's, you know, it's just a fun song.
There's nothing offensive about it at all. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And like I said, it's I've kind of put it up there with some of their songs, earlier songs like on Murmur, where they're just light, fast, upbeat songs that just make you smile, you know?
You're in and out. Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we got for you this week. Hope you enjoyed yourself. On behalf of Rico and myself, blink your eyes, and we'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the REM Breakdown. For more information, visit our site at rembreakdown.com or send us an email at rembreakdown@gmail.com.